Rodney Dangerfield here. You've heard a roundabout. Right, me neither. We'll get it at iTunes with Zoom or from Stitcher for your phone. Hey, don't forget to let people know. Hey, they'll tell you, put it back where you found it. Hey, no respect. Hey, no respect at all. Oh.
From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, where Cinnabon the dog is missing yet again, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm Jason White.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
I'm Emmy Award-winning producer, Ben Sanders.
And I'm Jeffrey Ross, Skyping in from my bachelor party in Las Vegas event. What the? Where's she going to put that? Oh, guys, I got to go.
Well, so much for that. This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 28, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like an insane person, yes, an insane person, we taste the far reaches of the internet in search of Jungle Jim and gilded shoehorns to marry, wrapping ourselves tightly in birch bark for protection from sorcerers that live under our fingernails. We uncover an array of topics and flying bread crusts to talk about. During our search, we'll dodge a medieval lobster gate that's trying to turn us into black and white, all while keeping an eye out for Amelia Earhart, who lives in our walls and watches us as we daydream about what pockets taste like. Whatever's left over, well, we'll put it in the freezer with our ransom money, velveteen secrets, and game of cribbage. Because yesterday, this is 15 miles on the Erie Canal. Okay, now that everyone's terribly confused, we can start the show.
I forgot my tinfoil hat.
Exactly.
Sorry.
You need more than a tinfoil hat to keep up with us.
He's talking about acid.
And that is the witticism of our very own Zach Bowman. Zachary, glad you could make it again. And
glad
I still hate you.
Oh, come on. I was saying I was
like
glad to be here.
Right out of
maybe
the gate.
I'm not. Come at me like that. Jesus Christ.
How is everything down in Knoxville?
Everything's going well, man. I got to drive my project car for the first time this week.
Sweet.
Really?
Woo! So,
yeah.
The triumph.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. Only almost caught fire once, but...
if you only almost catch on fire, you're doing something right.
Exactly.
What kind of triumph is this?
It's a 69 Spitfire Mark III.
Oh, beautiful.
And that is the voice of our newest member here joining us tonight. For the first time, Jason White from CarDesignFetish.com. We're glad you could make it.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
And now let me get this straight. You found Roundabout, then you listened to it, and then you wanted to come on the show. I'm very confused.
Speaking of acid, Jesus.
I know.
Exactly. Seems like a natural progression of events.
But the final part of that is very confusing. You wanted to come on the show. What?
Well, like I mentioned earlier in the before we went live, the Chin Tiki is right down the street.
Okay, that's right. So you didn't make the drive here for nothing.
If things go really bad, then then at least I've got one thing to do on my way home. So, you know.
He gave it to his wife as an excuse to go to the Tiki bar.
Okay. She's probably waiting out in the car, right?
He said Tiki Bar. She thought he said, oh, never mind.
the Bronco Lounge, as it were, right?
Wow.
And that is the voice, of course, of Eric Tritko, who is also joining me in the studio right now. Eric, what's happening?
Happy Equinox to you.
Oh, well, happy pagan holiday to you, too.
And Michelle, I think Cinnabon was found. He was just in a different building. Or at least that's what I thought I saw yesterday.
I have no idea.
So, okay, Michelle, how are you doing out there in Long Beach?
I'm great. Better
than her neighbor down the street.
Oh,
yeah,
this is
my neighbor down the street who seemed to lose his wife because
she won an Oscar. He loses his wife. What happened?
Well, that's my theory is if there's an Oscar curse, as they keep saying, Sandra Bullock's being cursed by the Oscar, that I want Jeff Bridges, please.
The dude.
Hey, Michelle, have they set up for the Grand Prix yet in Long Beach?
They've already started. I put a picture up about a couple of weeks ago. They start putting up the grandstands and the barriers. They're welding the manhole covers to the utilities.
Oh yeah,
right
we've had experience with that in Detroit. You gotta bolt down the manhole covers or weld them down, one or the other.
Well, yeah. Sucks them up if they don't.
People will steal them, right?
Those ground effects.
No. The cars go across them so fast. The car sucks mm-hmm. the manhole covers up.
Wow, yeah. That's some power. That's horsepower.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Yum.
That's called aero power.
Eric, you're such a contrarian.
Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you.
You're the Eric extremist.
Well, wouldn't you, in that case, you say, no, I'm not.
That's good. I like this guy, Eric. He's sharp. Michelle, it's funny that you, or maybe it's deliberate, I'm not sure, but you brought up Cinnabon the dog.
Yeah.
And that's very clever because that fits our theme this week. Did you premeditate that? Or are you just naturally that brilliant?
I had Jesse James hide his dog and file a missing dog complaint with the chip service that mm-hmm. chipped his dog, just so that we would have a great intro to the show, Craig. Hmm.
I salute you, Michelle.
I'm dedicated.
You are more than dedicated. You put your life in this show. And it shows.
Absolutely.
We have 13 people in the chat, 14 people in the chat room right now.
Wow. Can the server handle that?
We have 181 viewers, and you're wearing a boring sweater.
I'm not even wearing a sweater, Michelle.
What is that?
Do you need me
it's a shirt. It's that gray shirt.
That's what people usually wear on their torsos, or shirts, you know?
I see what it is now. I thought it was one of those old man golf sweaters with a collar.
No, I only wear old man jackets.
And for those of you watching on live on Ustream, we are usually don't have the Ustream chat open, but if you'd like to head over to theroundaboutshow.com and go to the live section, you can join in on the chat there.
Or you can get a box cutter and take it to your wrists, because that's about as enjoyable as the chat is. Right, Eric?
Okay, Craig.
Wow.
Well, thanks for that advertisement.
Man.
Yeah, did I say that out loud?
The more you know. Okay, so getting down to business, our theme this week ties in with what Michelle was saying about Cinnabon the dog. And our theme this week is pets. We've got a bunch of stories about animals, our four-legged friends, our winged friends, whatever. So, Michelle, you tagged our first story, and I'm opening it up here in the browser. It's about, what, a 600-pound New Jersey mom? What?
Yeah, that's not the link I sent you.
Oh, well, I must have opened that by mistake then. Whoops.
But which is crazier? The woman that wants to be the heaviest person on earth, or the woman that decides to live in her car with 23 pets?
I'll go with the latter. That's much more eccentric than some tubby woman.
Yeah. I mean,
what's the story? She got fined $9,000 for 23 pets in her car? What?
Right. I mean, I love my pets. I have two dogs, two cats, and a bird.
Holy crap.
But I have a big house with a big yard, and they have the door to go in and out, and everybody's happy, and we coexist. But this woman was living in her car with 12 Persian cats and 11 Pomeranian dogs. And
well,
the strange thing is she kept them in those little container things.
I think if you can't count the pets you have living in your home on both hands, you have a problem. She has more than twice that many, so that's a problem.
Yeah. My question would be, did she used to own a home and have all these pets there, and when she lost her home, she couldn't bear to give up the pets? Is that what happened?
I would imagine that's the case.
Because
it sounds like
that's what happened.
I know Jason for a fact. Recently, the only reason I have the two kittens, because I'm not a cat person. Sorry, cat people. But I rescued these two kittens, and I called the SPCA locally, which is a no-kill facility, mm-hmm. and or has always been a no-kill facility. And the amount of people losing their homes and apartments in Southern California right now is so great that they said, oh, yeah, bring them over and we'll put them to sleep.
Oh, no.
That's not good. It's nice that you saved them then, because you have a big house and a big yard.
And a big heart.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm.
The dogs like them, actually.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I that's probably what happened. I mean, it's very sad. She probably lost where she was living, and she had to put all of these animals in the car. And, you know, honestly, if she has nothing, how can they find her 9,000?
Yeah, where are they going to get that money from?
I don't. Maybe she could open a pet circus or something.
That really surprises me here.
I hate the animals.
What surprises me here is the restraint the writer of this article showed. So he's got cat lady fined $9,000, and she was convicted of 9 charges, and there isn't a single 9 lives joke in this entire
article. That's true, yeah.
So I'm pretty impressed. I don't know if I'm disappointed or impressed. I'm mostly impressed, I think.
It's that classic Bowman.
It was a meow mix-up.
Oh, that hurts so bad.
Yeah.
It's good.
So 23 pets. It doesn't say what kind of car she was driving, so there's hopefully no, a station wagon or something.
Craig, there are no Toonces references either, which is surprising. One of the cats has got to be driving.
Craig, do you know
this
who
is
Toonces
Australia?
Is?
Craig, this is Australia, so they don't have station wagons.
They have estates.
They have estates.
Yes. States.
That's right.
Yes. I'm sorry, Eric.
Maybe
that's
she was cruising around.
In Europe,
a
we
call
them
connects.
Shooting brakes.
Shooting brakes?
Yeah.
They have utes there, too. Not utes.
Oh, you know,
utes.
When I lived in Wales, though, the guys that would run the local hunts had sort of the equivalent of the Transit Connect at the time. And I knew this guy that he kept the hounds that would go to the hunts, and he took a Transit Connect kind of equivalent and put a plywood second story in it so he could have 2 layers of dogs.
Huh.
When he would go
That's
out
like a dog
hunt.
Sandwich.
Well, that's exactly what happened one time. His plywood thing
Oh, no.
fell.
That's enough.
Yeah,
and,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
That's why you can build
pancake.
That shit to code, you know.
That's terrible. Yes. But on the lighter side, I love bloodhounds. They're a cool dog, aren't they, Eric?
Yes.
That's
Not as
it?
Cool as a Mastiff, though, right?
A Persian Pomeranian or something.
No,
English Mastiff.
English Mastiff.
What's her name?
Lola.
Lola.
You'll
have to bring her
Lola,
in sometime if she's well behaved.
Has Lola ever attacked a police car?
No.
Hey, Zach. Very good. In fact, I'm going to mark that lap on my timer here. Brilliant transition. So our next story involves a dog. And Eric, you are a dog owner.
I am.
What? Tell us about your pooch. What?
No. I've got
this
to interrupt.
This is a Zach
time.
Bowman story.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. He's not a horse owner. He's not a horse owner. He's not a dog owner. He's a horse owner.
Zach, are you high?
Again, you know, how many times do I have to cover this? I wish. It would make this a lot less painful.
It's like going to the dentist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So our next story involves a dog and a police car. And I'll give you the short of it here. A mixed breed dog, part pit bull, basically attacked a police car and destroyed it. Hmm. Amazingly, he was able to. I guess he ripped the front bumper completely off the car. He flattened the tires, and he just made a mess of the vehicle. Now I know dogs can be strong, and especially if they're pissed off, they can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Has your dog ever done anything like this, Eric, to the neighbors? Or
she does. All she has to do is walk out on the porch, and the neighbors go running to the other side of the street because they're terrified.
Okay.
They're
terrified of your horse.
Yeah, part of it's cultural, but part of it is they're like,
of course,
crap.
So, Eric, what have you got? What have you planned for this week's PlanCast? What ethnic minority are you denigrating this week?
Anyone I can, thank you.
Ben, you've got the checklist, don't you? Who haven't we offended yet?
I think Asians were scheduled to be next.
Okay, well, Eric, you've got the rundown then.
Oh, no.
Well, in my best Andrew Dice Clay. Hey, you could blindfold them with dental floss. Ow! Sorry.
Oh.
Just had to get that.
Wow. That was painful.
Play the music, Ben, that we talked about.
I don't have it.
Oh, well. You can fix it in post. Fix it in post. All right. So this story is coming to us from NBC2.com. I guess it's a Chattanooga area TV station. And they say the pit bull mixed dog broke through a locked chain link fence gate, I guess, The dog's name is Winston, and he attacked the offending police car. Now, the cop, I guess, was sitting in the car running radar, and then the car started to shake, as you would expect, as a dog attacks it, ripping it to ribbons, I guess. So we got out of the car to find the dog attacking it. Have you guys ever seen anything like this? Some When Animals Attack, Part 6?
I remember seeing a news item one time where a monkey was ripping rubber molding off the side of a car, off the doors.
Well, monkeys are much more funny than dogs. But
true. But no, I've never heard of a dog attacking a car before.
I'm kind of hoping these people have been like breeding dogs for this purpose for the past few generations, you know? Mm-hmm. Where, like, eventually they'd have the perfect dog to dismantle a Crown Vic.
Yeah. That's another question.
Just in time
have.
Before they switch to the new tourist platform.
Exactly.
You know?
Was this a Crown Vic?
Oh, yeah. They have a video of it. Yeah, the front bumper is gone.
Is it literally?
Well, doesn't that say a lot about how the car's made? I mean, that's kind of frightening, right?
Yeah, dogs are strong.
How the dog's made. Look at that thing's neck, man. It doesn't have
a
neck.
More about how the dog's made.
His neck's bigger than my torso.
Wow. That's you, Craig.
My pencil is bigger than
Thanks, Michelle. She's a very bitter woman. Very bitter. But so the officer that was in the car tried to obviously stop the dog, and the article says he used pepper spray, which didn't work, and then he pulled out his stun gun, but that was not enough to stop the dog.
Wow. And can I just say at this point, that is one of the reasons why I don't like invisible fences, because they don't work.
We had one, and our dog was fine in it.
Yeah, and your dog weighed what, 5 pounds?
We had a black Labrador retriever, Rocky was his name, and he was 140 pounds. He could rest his head on the kitchen table. So he was very pretty.
But they're not very, I mean, they're smart, but they're smart to be stupid Labradors.
What?
You know, they're not like aggressive dogs.
No.
That's what Craig's mom says about him, actually. He's smart.
He was bred to be docile.
Wow. You sucked all the air out of the room, Michelle. Thanks.
I don't know what you deserved to get all this ribbon, Craig.
That wasn't me. That was Zach.
Well, I'm going to blame you anyway. You're a softer target.
It's okay. I'm a mom, so I'm used to taking the blame for everything.
What were we talking about again?
A dog attacking a police car.
Thank you. So he ripped the bumper off.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. Next story. No. Zach, why don't you tell us about our next story?
Sure. Okay, so everybody knows about...
Because this happened locally.
God damn it. Yes, it happened locally. It happened like 30 minutes away. Which I would have told you if you wanted me to finish my sentence.
When he drinks a lot, he gets very angry.
Yeah? He's an angry drunk?
No, I'm angry before I start drinking, and then it gets better the more I consume.
So. Better meaning amplified or better meaning less angry?
Less angry. Less angry.
Oh, okay.
Clarification here. Clarification.
You should hear me before the beer. It gets really bad. Anyway, everybody's heard of Route 129 in Tennessee. It's the famous dragon. It's a big driving road. And evidently, they had a rock slide earlier this week, which is no big deal with all the snow and rain. You know, everything gets loose, falls down off the mountain. And they usually clear it back up, stabilize the bank, and everything's good to go. But a driver driving a Lincoln LS was looking at the television crew and the police officer and his cruiser on the side of the road and not the rock slide and drove right into it. I mean,
this guy
had to have been going like at least 45, 50, right? I mean, he was cruising.
Yeah. Ben, you've probably got the video up for that, but it's pretty impressive.
I got quite a kick out of this.
But he had a dog with him, you guys. I mean, this is why people need to use dog restraints in their cars. That's dangerous.
You just spoiled it, Michelle.
Well, do we have the more you know?
The story's load early.
Hang on a second. Do we have the more you know soundbite ready to go? Okay. If you're going driving this weekend... wait. If you're going driving this weekend and there might be a rock slide, make sure to use dog restraints. See, everybody can learn from that.
Yeah. Trim that. Put it on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a PSA ready to go.
Yeah,
it's ready to go. Not Peugeot Citroen. That's public service enough.
Yeah.
Team Hazmat wants to know if the rocks are okay.
They look
Lincoln
okay.
LS really isn't a bruiser of a car, you know. I think it probably took the brunt of the
So that's funny. The guy just plows literally. I mean, it's not like a wall of rocks because the car kind of goes over them. It looks like fairly kind of loose shale, maybe sort of.
At first, I thought the guy was like planning to Dukes of Hazzard it, you know, like maybe he could jump it, but not the case.
He's going to have a hefty repair bill after that. Can I say one thing about the guy? He strikes me as he looks like a cross between Robin Williams and Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's.
I think it's Robin Williams circa The Birdcage.
Yeah, but then he opens his mouth and it doesn't sound anything like Robin Williams.
Well, give us a design tie-in. What can you tell us about the Lincoln LS?
Well, the Lincoln LS is actually a pretty nice car. It's it's weird because when the car came out, it was really well received. That's what I remember. I think I was in school at the time.
Uh-huh.
But there really wasn't any further development on it. It just came along and that was it. But I don't know. They probably wanted to take the brand in a different direction and, you know, different platform. So
on the roundabout design scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the best possible design ever, 1 being?
10 being an Alpha 8C.
Or whatever. Okay. I was thinking more that's or contour or something, but no, 1 to 10. What would you rate the LS?
I would rate it probably a
'cause
7.
You are the design guy.
Yeah, I would rate it probably a 7. It has very, very good proportions throughout.
Mm-hmm.
Nice surfacing. It, for the time that it came out, it was pretty good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there you go. The more you know.
Can I circle back to our preview?
If you're going driving this weekend, you might want to consider an LS.
Uncomfortably long delay. Thanks, Ben.
Courtesy
of Mr. Sanders.
Can we circle back
that's
to our
dog
story?
The only thing I have to do is to hover over the more you know jingle.
Well, we're soon replacing the Cougar record, the Cougar sound effect
with
record
more you
with
know.
That. Yeah. I'm sorry, Eric.
A friend of mine who actually lives in Chattanooga, where the story of Winston took place, has been heard from. He said that the dog mistook the car for lawn equipment, which is the only other thing he's ever chewed on.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he was taken in by Humane Society or one of those things. So now
did he cross the Rainbow Bridge?
I don't know.
I'm trying to think if there's any lawn equipment that looks like a Crown Vic. And I'm not coming up with that.
But apparently there is a
sounds like that.
There's a number of motorcycle groups down there that are now running around with stickers on their bikes and on their jackets that say Free Winston.
Wow.
That's a hilarious name.
I don't even
for this
like
brutal
dogs,
dog.
But I like that dog, you know?
But if just he's used to going after lawn equipment, isn't he going to go after the motorcycle guys?
I don't know.
You'd have to ask the dog. I don't know if we can answer that.
Hmm. I could whisper to him.
You're the dog whisperer.
Meow.
Okay. All right. Awkward transition. Eric, you've got our next story. This is a little different, but it still kind of fits our theme.
Okay.
It's a bit of a pet project.
Pet project, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Oh.
There's another ding, sound ding. Effect for you, Ben. Record that one in high def.
So apparently when you have an obsession with Back to the Future and you can't afford a $15,000 DeLorean or $20,000 DeLorean, you spend $1,500 and get yourself a early 80s Scirocco.
A Volkswagen.
Yes.
Still designed by Jajaro. So
yeah, no. I love Sciroccos. In fact, I want a Mark One that has the four round headlights.
Yeah.
I love the design of that car. It's very cool.
Yeah.
So this person decided on a, as Ben said, pet project and decided, well, on alternate fuels, what can we get this to go on? And decided, well, let's run it on coffee. But in setting up the coffee conversion for it to run on, set it up so that it looks like it has a Mr. Fusion unit on the back, so it looks like the DeLorean, and it's got some routing of pipes and stuff on the outside again to make it look like it. Now, mm-hmm. I don't think this thing will hit 88 miles an hour, but it does get reasonable mileage. Well, if you consider 56 shots of espresso to the gallon, good mileage. Yep.
My favorite part about this, it doesn't actually run on coffee. It runs on
carbon.
Charcoal.
Yeah.
So what?
What is the guy doing? Is he destructively distilling the coffee grounds, and that he's releasing the gases that are in the carbon based coffee, which goes in and then gets burned? Is that what he's doing, or is this something? Finally,
I was waiting for that.
That's the Ben has had that sound effect I think since episode one.
So he's been just clamoring.
Well, he's had opportunities to use it, but he's exercised restraint amazingly, and. Oh.
Much like the people who wrote the cat story.
Yes.
I think this car is...
It's too bad it cut off before the license plate sound effect.
Yeah. Go ahead, Zach. If you want to actually stay on task here, fine.
You know
it's not
fine.
My preference. You know that, but...
No, fine. No, whatever.
Please, yeah. Zach.
According to the graphic, he uses the charcoal fire to break down the coffee into hydrogen and carbon monoxide, and then burns the hydrogen.
Hey, I was right.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Naturally.
By the way, the name of this car? The Carpuccino?
Yeah, and is it in San Juan Capistrano? Capistrano?
Capistrano.
Well, you know... Funny line in the article here. If you want to run your car on coffee, you could, but it's a little more pricey than gasoline. Roughly 25 to 50 times more expensive.
Well, then what's the advantage of using it?
Proof of concept.
Well, you can say you run your car on
coffee. This is like the first thing I thought when I looked at this. It's like, okay, can we stop doing alternative energy vehicles that use foodstuffs as the basis for... Because this is going to cause coffee prices to go up just like
unless,
corn prices went up. You know, it's,
unless he's using the used grounds.
Used grounds.
Well, exactly. Okay, because you can go to any of those chain places that you know, it starts with an S, and they'll give you the grounds. Like I've done that for my vegetable gardens.
But just like the people who pick up the vegetable oil, they'll get wise to that and start charging you.
Exactly. I could just see Michelle going there with a baggie from Target. Can I get some coffee grounds?
Exactly. Oh, sure. And I go to Home Depot and I get my sawdust.
On the pet angle, actually, speaking of coffee grounds, we recycle our coffee grounds by feeding them to the worms that live in our house. We have worm composting.
In your house?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Veriposting. It's awesome.
No, you'd be really surprised. The only smell that's there is maybe an aquarium smell, and that's about it. But they devour it. They love it.
Hmm. So you sell the compost or just use it around
the
house?
No, we just use it in the garden.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He's an urban farmer.
Pretty much, yeah.
What do you grow? Soybeans, broccoli?
Well, we can't grow in the ground because we live in a condo. But we containers, we grow tomatoes and squash and a variety of other things. Our bunny rabbits help out too because their droppings go into the bin as well with the worms and they love it.
Sounds delicious.
It's called worm gold. They don't even call it poo. It's called worm gold. And if you live in the city and you need some because you have whitefly in your little bitty teeny tiny pied-à-terre garden because, you know, on your fruit trees or whatever, the gardeners will charge you a freaking fortune. And all it is earthworm poo.
But it's not called poo.
It's not called poo. It's called gold.
So, Michelle, I could be sitting on a gold mine and I don't even know it.
Literally.
Wow.
There's a Dune reference in here that I won't go to, but
Ben, you know, if you've got that, the more you know
thing. He's going.
Well, okay. Great. We've got a coffee-powered Volkswagen.
Yeah,
so.
Worm poo is not what I would call spice, but some people might, so.
I think Jajara would be okay with this. I think the execution of the parts is in spirit with his design. So he probably wouldn't mind.
Well, that's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll do it for the news portion of our show. So thank you, everyone.
I hope no one really turns to us for news.
You know, that's...
You call it news, but boy, if someone's getting their news from us, I worry for our country.
Well, updates. You know, we try to be fair and balanced on Roundabout. You know, we try to.
I was about to say we're at least on par with Fox. So
exactly.
I was gonna say coming to us for news is like going to Keith Olbermann for rational thought.
Yuck! Yuck! Yuck!
Yeah, I don't understand.
Ding ding ding!
Not gonna lie. I'm gonna lie. So anyway, we'll take a brief break here.
Since I had to piss someone else, another interest group off this week, I figured I'd do that.
He just lost his dad, you know.
And
This has been ClanCast with Eric Tritko. Burning the cross from both ends.
All three ends.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So, if you recall, what was it, maybe a month or two ago, month and a half ago, Ben? We had our, we did a roundabout Mario Kart game. We all got online across the country. We all ganged up and we were playing Mario Kart on our Wiis on the interweb. If you remember back to that, it was a glorious time. It was a lot of fun. And we would like to invite you to another event. We're trying to set up one for April 10th. That's next month on the 10th. And, you know, if you can join, if you want, I'm sure we're going to put a post up on the website, roundaboutshow.com. You can swing by there, get more information. I'm sure, Ben, you'll put your Wii number up there so that everybody can get on the same page to join the group for the race.
Indeed, and we'll have a phone number that you can dial into, and we'll all be on the chat line together.
Yeah, that was a riot.
I'll make sandwiches for everyone.
Well, maybe you can play this time if you rent a copy that's not scratched, Michelle.
No, I can get a copy now because they have them available.
Oh, well, there you go. So, yeah, if you've got a Wii, if you know somebody that's got a Wii, get online on April 10th. We'll probably do it in the evening. What time did we do it last time around, Ben? Maybe 7 o'clock, was it? I'm trying to remember.
I think we did it at 8 p.m. We'll probably plan on the same time. That seemed to work for people.
Yeah. I mean, we had maybe a dozen people join us. Zach, you were online. Ben, myself. Zach, your wife. Jeff and his fiance.
The twins.
The twins didn't make it, though. They were at an after-school event, I think. Or at grandma's house. But anyway, it was a good time. Mud Monster was able to join us, Mr. Stewart. So it was just a riot. So if you get a chance, I invite you to join us for Roundabout. But there's one thing, you just got to keep your hands off Toad. I call Toad because he is, clearly the best character that is available. So I ask you to just back off.
Exercise some restraint,
please.
We're saying.
Mm-hmm. Please.
So.
But with that, I think it's time to move on to our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week's story is all about how fast Americans drive and how that actually varies across the country. Now, this article is posted on the Wall Street Journal, very prestigious paper, Eric. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but...
used to read it every day.
Very respected. Why not anymore?
Because I am no longer in the financial business.
Oh.
No.
It costs money.
Well, there's that, too.
Okay, great. So...
this awkward moment brought to you by... Awkward Ease. When you have an awkward moment, rub it on.
Awkward Ease is not for everyone.
It can cause...
small number of people experienced abdominal distension. To learn more, talk to your doctor.
And anal seepage. Right, Eric? Got to keep a baggie under your chair.
You would know better than I, Craig.
Yeah, well, my colostomy bag is broken on a couple occasions, and I'm going to tell you that is not a mess I enjoy.
Hey, blind spot.
I think he's trying to
get
us back to the coffee.
So get us out of the gutter here.
Yes.
I try and drag you out. You keep running back in. Jumping back in the pool of awkward.
All right. So we've got a story, Wall Street Journal. It's about Americans and how fast they drive. And as you'd expect, that varies from state to state. Some states drive slower than others. Let me see here. The numbers are coming from TomTom. They make GPS devices, and they've been able to – people have agreed to it, and they're monitoring how fast people drive on freeways and whatnot, and so they've been able to come up with numbers.
So it's like Nielsen ratings for speeders.
Exactly. Basically, it varies by different states. Some of the slowest driving states include Washington, Oregon, Illinois, and Maine. The fastest, as you'd expect, some of the more rural areas, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, South Carolina. That's kind of an outlier there. Zach, do you have any experience in South Carolina that might explain why they drive faster than its surrounding states? Because all of, like, Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, they're all driving pretty much in the middle, according to the numbers here. But South Carolina is faster. Any reason for that?
that you know?
I haven't had any personal experience in South Carolina, but I was a little pissed when Virginia upped their speed limit to 70. I have a stack of driving infractions from the People's Republic of Virginia, and I had eventually gotten to the point where I was, you know, I was okay with their 65-mile-an-hour speed limit because a lot of the roads on 81 go through the Blue Ridge Mountains, and you can't see all that well, and the weather tends to be kind of poor, you know. And then they fucking change it to 70 miles an hour, and suddenly my argument is worthless. So a little pissed at the People's Republic right now.
Yeah, the National Socialist Virginia Workers' Party.
I'm a little confused on how Texas is in the middle, because I know there's parts of Texas where the speed limit's 80. Hmm. Michelle? Is that because of Dallas and Houston?
Facebook me.
No, it's they pretty much have a it's not 80 anywhere anymore.
Oh, really?
That's old. Yeah, no, that's very old. And I mean, all of these, like, you know, when the whole thing was about saving gas, and so they reduced it to 55, and then they raised it to 60, and then they raised it again, and then they lowered it again in a lot of these states, was about more about the accidents. And it's actually proven that it doesn't reduce accidents to have it below 70. I mean, those are all flat states. All those green states are flat.
I was just going to say,
flat.
I would think that especially Nevada and Arizona.
Idaho is flat, by the way.
Yeah.
They have mountains there.
They have them on the border of Wyoming and Montana. The rest of the state is flat.
Hmm. Well, I stand corrected.
Yes. And what scares me about this is, wait, so TomTom is actually gathering the data of, if you have a TomTom, they're gathering the data to make their own press release?
Well, I think they said it was voluntary. In the article.
Right, so you're doing setup, like, do you want your blah, blah, blah?
Here we go. TomTom collected data, speed data from 45 states and the District of Columbia under agreements with customers who agreed to allow the company to collect the information anonymously to improve the quality of its route guidance. So there you go. Wow.
Improve the quality of their route guidance or to do press releases about...
or to spy on you and watch you in the shower.
Speaking as a Michigander, I'm quite surprised that Ohio is rated at the same speed as Michigan, because when you cross over into Ohio, I swear, people just drive slower in Ohio. That's my experience.
Well, that's because they have the jackboots with their black armbands patrolling in, you know, in the highway cars there.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, because time slows down in Ohio.
Well,
just a piss.
Go
Ohio.
If you're from Michigan and you're going to Ohio, you've got to watch it, because as some of you may know, Michigan cars are one of the few in the union that don't have license plates on the front of the car.
You're a target. It's a bullseye.
So they can see you coming. If they see a car with no license plate, they know it's someone from Michigan.
And on general principle, because Ohio hates Michigan.
Yes, that too.
They'll just pull you over on general principle because you're from the state of Michigan.
And also the same principle applies when you go into Ontario. The OPP can see you coming.
See, I've never, you know, I go
the
to
Mounties.
No, that's the RCMP. You're thinking of the Royal Canadian
Police. No, Craig's playing as usual.
I'm talking about the Ontario Provincial Police.
Oh.
The OPP.
Sorry.
Bum-ba-bum-bum.
The thing is, the 401 is sometimes known as the Ontario Bond, because you do see people flying by at about, let me do the conversion, 130, 140 kilometers an hour. Of course, now
with maximum.
Of course, they have big posted signs now that anything 50K over the speed limit, your car is confiscated and you are left on the side of the road. Well, and there's a $10,000 fine.
That's Canadian. So
the 401 is a scary freeway, because fog can just roll in at the drop of a hat, and next thing you know, there's a 50-car pileup. It's pretty scary.
And then they shut down both sides, even if there's nothing going on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, everybody's day has to be ruined.
Yes.
If something goes wrong.
Yeah. Well,
and I also do like the fact that Montana, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota had no data. Then again,
nobody lives there.
I said Detroit has more people than in those states combined. So
combined and then
even now,
squared.
Even now, when we're taking the census, you think?
Yeah, there's what, 600,000 people left in Detroit.
I'm banking on 600.
Yeah,
Wyoming has about 350,000 people, so maybe not quite. But
there's probably more bison in Montana than there are people. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So, interesting how the states drive different speeds. I guess you could expect that. The South moves at a slower pace, maybe. Right, Zach? While the more open states go faster.
They should do a study that's more worldwide, because there are some parts of the world where people just drive like maniacs. It's just unbelievable.
And we'll actually get to that in one of our later segments. Some crazy driver.
Cool.
Truck driver. We'll have to talk about that shortly here. But I think that will just about do it for our blind spot. But I'd like to give a big roundabout thank you to James Rodatis. I hope I said that right, although I probably didn't, who sent us that link. He's an avid listener of the show, and he listens on his phone on Stitcher. So thank you.
One of our many fan.
Thank you, James.
Yes. One of our, as we always like to say, one of our many fan, singular.
Stalkers.
What?
What was that?
Only with you, Michelle. The rest of us don't get stalked, you know?
Or gift sent randomly in the mail.
It's because you're always saying, Facebook me,
friend of Rumi. Naked pictures.
I get great gifts.
I thought you were going to say great naked pictures.
La 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 la.
Sorry.
Okay, are you done, Zach?
I guess.
Can I finish?
Oh, you're one to talk, buddy.
Oh,
Can't finish.
Wow. We finally got that clip. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Get a round of applause.
Ben told me he found it. I nearly shat myself because I was so excited. So we've been waiting for that sound effect.
Wow, man. I thought this day would never come.
Ben, can you play it again?
Can't finish.
God bless you.
All right, that's it. I'm out.
I remember that sketch. That was a good one.
That was a very good sketch.
Well, but we'll leave on a high point. See you next week.
Ben, we're only half finished, Ben. I don't know why you got to be so premature about these things.
I was getting ready to abort it.
Well, you know, you can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometimes.
That, that was a cue.
What you need.
That was a cue. I'm the newbie, and even I know that was a cue.
Well, why don't you just go ahead and play the sad trombone then, Ben, for your epic fail.
I don't have that ready either.
So moving on.
I've got a cat meowing.
Sounds like somebody's strangling a baby.
Not Michelle.
That would be
me. No, she only steals babies.
Oh, okay. She's very kind to them once she has them in her.
And once she's eaten the skin off their face. But anyway.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Go on now.
Was that a drop salad? Just a bunch of things together, or was that just one?
No, I'm confused. But Ben, God bless you for keeping things moving. He is the roundabout laxative. He's always pushing things along, you know?
He's like Seneca.
Yes, yes. A natural, non-stimulant laxative. Mm-hmm. Keeps us from cramping.
Come on! My God!
Now, all right, Ben knows how I feel. Ben, the trick is to just zone out. Like, open up another window, find yourself.
Open up another Troganator.
That's right. Drink away the paint.
Okay, if you couldn't tell, we're on our next segment, Stupid Car Tricks. So we've got a doubleheader for you this week. And the first video is posted on YouTube. We found it initially on Autoblog. But that video, for some whatever reason, got pulled down by the poster. So we had to search YouTube again. And we were able to find it on a British newscast. Yes.
Okay.
So, Ben, why don't you play a little snippet of this? And I might need to translate it.
Because for our audio, on the front of a speeding lorry. It's been captured on a mobile phone. It appears the truck driver was unaware that he'd hit the Renault hatchback before pushing that vehicle at 60 miles an hour along a UK motorway. Terrible incident for the person involved there. Police launched an investigation into the incident, which took place back in January. Reports say, thankfully, no injuries or arrests there.
Okay, so for our American listeners, let me translate that into English for you. Basically, what happened is a truck was going on down the freeway, and he T-boned a Renault hatchback and was just pushing him along the road. And apparently, the guy didn't even see the car that he was pushing along at 60 miles an hour. So, blimey.
Yes, and no one was arrested or went to jail?
Well, it's the UK. They're... I don't know.
Think of all the fuel the guy saved. He's giving him a free ride.
Exactly. Look on the bright side. Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
And there's an insurance claim, so he actually was able to get a real car and get rid of that Renault.
But here's the thing. I mean, I our fan Mirko, who's actually...
Mirko Reinhardt. You
know, Mirko Reinhardt, who's in Canada this week, and so not listening live, because he's actually
well. Does he ever
working.
Listen live due to the time difference?
I don't think so. I don't know that he does actually, but he sent me the top selling cars in Europe last month at like some nice Excel spreadsheets that were really pretty, and all of the top selling cars, like the top 25, 30 cars, are all these teeny tiny cars. They, you know, the Jetta was number one. The Mercedes A Series was in there. Everybody wants these little tiny cars in Europe. I think this kind of thing is what scares people in the United States from buying small cars.
We're going to suddenly become liberal and have national health care and
No. I just think that people in this country, in the United States, are afraid it's going to be like these tiny cars and these big semis.
Yeah, it's times like this stuff. I wish we had a better rail system in this country, because then we wouldn't have to have so many trucks on the road. You know, in other countries and other parts of the world, they don't rely so heavily on trucks. So.
I would even settle for like a decent public transportation system, you know?
Ew,
like
just transit.
A bus it's that came somewhere in this area, nice, you know? You get like 5 miles out of town and there's no way you're going to catch a bus anywhere.
Or San Francisco.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in Chicago or San Francisco. I live in Knoxville.
Knoxville. Because he can distill his own spirits down there and nobody cares. Right? Right, Zach?
Yep.
I'm going to bring placate you. Placate him. Just agree with him.
I'm going to bring you something to make you blind, Craig.
I'm already colorblind, apparently. So why not finish me off?
One step in the right direction, buddy.
Yeah. So, all right, that was our first stupid car trick. Like I said, we got a doubleheader. And our next one is much more disturbing. Now, Michelle, I think you found this one, right?
Well, and this leads in perfectly. This is the stupid truck trick. This is a big haul runner in Europe with his truck. Apparently, he's a Romanian driver, but they've identified through this video, they think he's in France when he was doing this.
He was very proud.
Yeah, he was very proud of the fact that he does this while he's driving, and turned the tape over to BBC people. And he's driving, but he drives with his feet. He stands up in the seat. At one point, he stands up in the middle of the cab, and he's dancing around, and he's going full speed on a freeway.
That's what cruise control's for.
I'm feeling a Top Gear episode coming, a Top Gear Challenge episode coming here. I mean, how hard could it be, really?
I do not need to see Jeremy Clarkson dancing.
Yeah, I second that. I don't need to see that.
Now we're going to stop.
We already deal with freaking Craig dancing on the side of the site here. I mean, we don't need to go.
That's a standing seizure, Zach. We've been over this. All right. So, yeah, basically, check out the video. If you're listening to the audio podcast, we'll have it in the show notes on our website. Check out the video. This guy is literally, like, dancing. Taking his hands off the wheel, jumping around like some monkey. Did you play it, Ben? Because there's some awkward ethnic music there too. Maybe Eric can make a few wisecracks about it.
Eric's like the Terminator. He's going through a list of responses in his head. Which one's appropriate?
No, if you actually want real Romanian music, I actually have some, but it's back at home. I'll bring it up for the next show.
No, thank you.
Eric, that wasn't offensive at all.
Oh.
What a letdown.
No clan cast, I guess.
Well, if you need something offensive, the only thing that would have made this better is Richard Golden in his sexy specs dancing. But that's a very, very local reference.
Richard Golden is an excellent bowler, I hear. He's very good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not just about the dancing.
Hey, do you guys hear that?
What was it, Craig?
Hear what?
I think it's time for our next segment. And now it's time for Meet Your Roadmates. Why is it that people drive Jeep Liberties, and who works at a Coney Island? Find out now. We've got a special edition, too, of stuff like that.
Well executed, my friend. Well executed.
All right. So, again, we've got Jason White joining us. From CarDesignFetish.com.
Yep.
So we're doing a special edition of Meet Your Roadmates, the Misunderstood Classics edition. Now, this is a column you write for the website,
right?
Tell us a little about it briefly here, and before we dive into the
the segment.
Well, there are a lot of cars that I particularly like because they try very hard to do something and maybe they fail at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're just, as the title suggests, misunderstood. The cars that I really don't like are the ones that are anonymous, that are just mediocre and don't try to...
Camry.
I was
going
to say anything.
You're
going to
get
well,
that checked out, Chris.
You know, mediocre in my mind is the real crime. Bad, I can understand. There's so many cars out there where people have shot for the moon and tried something, you know, great, and they fail miserably at it, but at least they tried. Mm-hmm. You know, it's better to strike out swinging than strike out looking.
Yes.
That's just my opinion. But anyway, so in this, and some of these, I take them on purposely because I can see my designer friends just wincing. Oh, he's talking about this one again? What is wrong with him? There are pills for this condition. So I run through it. Some of it is me trying to goad my friends into an argument, and others it's cars I genuinely like and wish people would give another chance.
So, Ben, I hope you've honed the roundabout supercomputer on a much narrower list of vehicles here.
Yeah, I had to do some rewiring and stuff to get it to work, but we'll see how it turns out.
It's
so
terrible with the soldering.
Let me start it up here. First try again. Pretty
that
good.
That sounds like a triumph, bad. Actually.
Pretty good.
All right, so what's the first one up here?
All right,
today?
Let's see.
I'm confused. Didn't the computer just run?
Now, we don't have a specific year due to the nature of this one, but our first choice the computer spit out was the 1970-78 AMC Gremlin.
Oh, yes.
Who would drive the 1970-78 AMC Gremlin?
Well, let's go around the table. We'll get to you last. Michelle, why don't you start us off? You might have the best memory of these cars, given that they're from, 30-odd years ago.
When I was your age,
I used to ride with my uncle to Bridge Club.
You know what's funny about this segment is I had a revelation the other day that every time we've done this segment, I have this vision in my brain of Marissa Tomei in The Wrestler driving every one of these cars. And I think it's because I'm so pissed off that her ass was so much hotter than mine in The Wrestler, and she's 4 years older than me. So I'm going to restrain myself and not say, the stripper with the kid, okay? I actually do remember this car because my very first boyfriend inherited one of these from his parents. I mean, it was older when he got it, but my very first boyfriend in high school had one in the original nasty green color.
So you have some sentimental value, some attachment to this vehicle.
No, none.
Good memory.
He's a total jerk. Are you kidding me? I think I liked the car more than I liked him, actually.
Oh.
Because I think I showed my distaste for I think I showed my lack of taste in cars early. It's peculiar looking, and I think anybody that drove that now would be a complete hipster. They're,
a hipster, really.
Yeah,
with a PBR in one hand and
American spirits
in their
California. This
okay,
is
okay. So a hipster you see driving this car then?
Yeah.
Okay. Really good. Zach.
I would drive this car. Absolutely. So thanks, Michelle, for hurting my feelings once again. No.
But that was my job.
I'm kidding.
I would drive it too, by the way.
And it's pretty awesome, the Gremlin, just because, one, I have a soft spot for any brand that's not around anymore, with the exception of maybe Saturn.
As a quick aside, that reminds me, Colin Bird, our good friend from the Auto Bird podcast, posted on Twitter today. I don't know if you guys saw it, that jokingly that Roundabout was sponsored by Oldsmobile. I was kind of chuckling at that. So I'm sorry. I don't mean to distract us again.
But other than me, who would drive this car? I don't know, somebody with a penchant for resurrecting things that should have died long before their birth, you don't see a lot of gremlins around anymore, so when you do, it's one that's obviously been resurrected,
Mm-hmm. So. Which would you rather have, this or an eagle?
Eagle.
Because I'm torn. I would drive either one.
Oh, I would probably pick the Eagle right away because I've always liked the Eagle. It was way ahead of its time.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I don't know. That's a good question. Eagle. It depends. So the Eagle, Eagle could be stock?
The Eagle would be a cheap man's Subaru because it's, you know, four-wheel drive.
Subaru. Yeah, it's true.
Or can I put a small block in the Gremlin? Just saying.
You don't even need to. Either. You can put an AMC, a 401 cubic inch AMC engine in it. And
see? Perfect. Problem solved.
Because they came with a 304. You know.
Short wheelbase. That thing would spin like nobody's business.
These things are great. These things are great when I'm announcing at the drag strip because 6 times out of 10, they'll scrape their bumper when they let go on the trans brake.
Brouhaha.
Okay.
Well, who would drive this besides a drag strip fanatic, Eric?
A drag queen. I mean,
oh, that's good. That's clever right there.
Someone who's like a classic hot rodder. You know, like Diggs. No, seriously, Gremlins are the people who like AMCs are this weird hardcore bunch, and they're crazier than Mopar people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And if you know how fanatical and crazy Mopar people are, then
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. The AMC people are worse.
I'm from a Mopar family,
okay.
I have experience with this.
I mean, people who are into people. There's a guy. This was about 10 years ago. There was a guy who wanted to build his 401 more than what was allowed or what was available in parts from heads, right? Mm-hmm. They need better cylinder heads. So the guy went out, designed it, and cast his own cylinder heads.
Wow.
That's how hardcore some of these AMC people are. So I'm just like, these are
like a man. That's
These guys are ultra hardcore hot rodders, and that's who I see driving them.
See, I see a mid-40s unemployed guy driving one of these. I'm sorry.
Maybe if it was like 1982, you know, but now, you know, all of those have since died. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm talking about the guys.
Well,
the
okay. So nothing about this car says cool or anything to my eye.
Not even the sticker on the rear sail panel?
Not even the sticker, no. Mm-hmm. So why is this a misunderstood classic?
Well, AMC, being the small company that they are, they couldn't really compete with GM, Ford, or Chrysler on volume, even mm-hmm. Chrysler, because they were just that small. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that puts you in a position where you're basically just, you know, trying different things and really, you know, taking big risks because you have little to lose. Mm-hmm. And with the Gremlin, they actually, this was the first subcompact hatch in the market. They beat the other, their competitors to the market by like 6 months, with this car. The unfortunate problem is that they used a Hornet platform for this car, and the only portion that's really new is the hatch in the back. So it bore a lot of a resemblance to a Hornet. If they had more time and maybe a bit more money, it might have been unique. The brochure for this car compares it directly with the Beetle, and I know what you think. It doesn't look anything like a Beetle, but they understood, and I'm sure Richard Teague, who's the chief designer at AMC, was going for this. He understood that all iconic small cars, especially, mm-hmm. have a very distinctive profile. The Beetle has a very distinctive profile, so does the Mini. So I'm sure that they were going for something really unique that would stand out from everything else.
It's certainly unique.
Yeah. And in that, they succeeded. But having started with the Hornet probably wasn't the best thing to do. But, you know, a lot of people think that this car was a disaster. It lasted 8 years, and they sold a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's just the name doesn't do it any favors, obviously. Mm-hmm. The name is kind of a one-strike.
And the answer. Little monster.
I like the name.
The Noid? You don't like the Noid?
I like
is that
the name.
What it's okay, so that's our first one. Ben, fire up the computer again. We've had enough Gremlin.
I didn't really have to defend that one too much. People like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm surprised. All right, so what's next?
Next up, we have the 1968-73 Opel GT.
Oh, boy.
Well done.
All right, Eric, why don't you start us off?
Again, there's another super cool car. Cool-looking car. Also embraced by the drag racing community because it was small, lightweight, short wheelbase. And took V8s very well. But for what it normally should have been, you know, they called it the poor man's Corvette, which was, and I think they...
The poor vet.
Yeah, they tried to put these into Buick dealerships in the early 70s to try and get some...
That's right, Buicks.
Get some volume in there and get some, because Buick even then was starting to skew a little older. They were mm-hmm. trying to keep more of a little more youthful feel to it. But Who drives one of these now? It's probably a 60-year-old person who wishes they could afford a Corvette, but there's not too many of these around because they are either crashed, rusted.
I don't think I've ever seen one of these, honestly.
Guy in our neighborhood used to own one when I was growing up.
Yeah. The only one I have ever seen was constantly at the repair shop in my hometown. Like, it just lived there.
Did an Italian design this? Because it certainly has a... It could almost be an Alfa. You know, it has a very Alfa look to it.
I don't think it was designed by... I don't know the designer's name off the top of my head, but it's... I don't think it's Italian, no.
So who... What's good about the design? What's bad about it? Why did you pick this as a misunderstood classic?
I think that the poor man's Corvette tag is really undeserved, and it smacks for me of just laziness. You know,
did you hear that, Eric? You're wrong.
I'm reading off the copy.
He's just citing what people have called it. He's not calling it that himself.
Okay.
The thing that. It's similar in the blog. I say it's similar to when people call the Fiero a poor man's Lamborghini, and I'm like, oh, come on, you know, don't just, you know, throw it out like that so casually. You know, let's take a little bit more of a serious look at it. But with the GT, there's this calm sense about it that I really like very much. I the best thing I can say is it's like rolling hills in the countryside. It's very quiet and very, you know, most sports cars these days are very aggressive, and that seems to be, and a lot of that is driven by, you know, the way the marketplace is. You have to really, really shout and holler to get your voice heard. But this car has a very quieting presence to it, and I love the egg-shaped headlamp shuts. Those really create a unique face.
Kind of fits the curves of the body.
It really looks like you could get in this thing and drive, you know, through the country, like in back roads with leaves blowing, and it would just be a really fun, enjoyable car. You don't have to be in a hurry. It just looks like it could be fun.
What's the lump on the hood that's off center, off towards the passenger side? There's a big egg-shaped divot sticking up.
There's probably something under there that the engineers forgot to put in until the last minute.
Some safety piece of crap, right?
Something probably having to do with the engine, something that made it go. And so they had to put a little... But that's okay, you know. Bulges in the hood are not out of...
Carburetors. It's a goiter.
It's a goiter.
You know what's funny? You guys have to remember, I was born in 1967.
Holy crap.
That is hilarious.
I remember... My father had a friend who was an early Honda dealer, and he was doing, you know, really well, and he bought an Opel and had it shipped to New Mexico. And my father making fun of it and said, yeah, he just bought like this kit car thing. It's not a real car. And the first day that he was driving it in little bitty Roswell, New Mexico, he kind of went to cross Main Street, which is not an incredibly high traffic street, but it is the traffic street in town. And he went to pull across to go to his dealership, and someone smashed into it.
Oh, man.
And I remember seeing the car before it got smashed and thinking, that car is so cute. And I didn't understand why my dad was making fun of it.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so Ben, we've got one more slot here.
Let's
fire up your computer.
Give it a shot.
All right,
shoot our guns in the air.
And our final winner of the evening, the 1975 to 77 Chrysler Cordoba.
Ah,
Ricardo Montalban. End
Each
of story.
I know my own needs. And what I need my from an automobile,
needs.
I know I'd get from this new...
I have Lucy the hooker down the street. She services me regularly.
Oh, Montalban was a very distinguished gentleman. I don't think he would partake in any...
Drunken, lewd...
He was a gentleman.
Okay. Well, I say Ricardo would drive this car because of the commercials. Who do you guys think would drive a Chrysler Cordoba? Nobody?
Somebody?
Here we go.
Zach would drive one.
No.
Because he likes the round headlights. He likes that glittering grille, very upright. The stand-up hood ornament, those are all attractive to Zach, I think.
They have a presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the time that this car came out, this is what you would call a personal luxury car. Other cars in this segment would be the Ford Elite, the Chevy Monte Carlo, Pontiac Grand Prix. Possibly the Thunderbird had so many different incarnations. It's hard for me to remember right off the top of my head. But legend has it that if you put all these cars side by side and look down the side of the cars, that their profiles were the same. So there really wasn't a lot distinguishing one car from the other. And they really wanted to stand out by entering this segment. Chrysler did. So it has a very Hispanic flavor. There's a lot of Duesenberg reference here, which was common in the 70s because people were really into cars.
The decade 30s. Of awful taste.
Well, you know, it was held up as a very, you know, an automotive renaissance, at least by the designers. And the whole Montalban thing lent a lot of credibility to the car, but also a lot of kudos had to be given to the designers because this car is actually a lot smaller than a normal Chrysler. It was called the Small Chrysler.
Oh, yeah.
And the form language that's on it, the shapes and the hood and everything, that's stuff that you would normally associate with a larger car, and it actually works here really well. I've seen a few of these in person. There are not many left. Many of them are just, you know, in landfills.
People just threw them away, yeah.
Yeah. They didn't last very long. But they could not keep these on the lot when they started selling these. They were just flying out of the dealerships.
Okay. Well,
it's the magic of Ricardo.
It's the accent, I think.
Yeah.
But marketing-wise, isn't this the equivalent of the Ducati commercials with that man of mystery? That guy.
That guy is the guy who would drive this car. The guy, I don't drink beer, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis. That guy drives this car.
Right, that's it.
Yes, exactly.
It's a modern, not deceased Montalban.
Yeah. So, pretty much.
He's not real, though.
He's not?
No, Montalban was real. I think they're taking the piss out of this.
They did actually give him a Cordoba to drive. He got a two-tone black and silver one, which is now in the Walter P. Chrysler Museum.
That's cool.
Yeah.
With Rich,
oh,
I know my own needs. And what I need from an automobile, I know I get from this new Cordoba. I could ask for nothing beyond the quality of Cordoba's workmanship, the tastefulness of its appearance. I request nothing beyond the thickly cushioned luxury of seats available even in soft Corinthian leather. Yet it is on the highway where Cordoba best answers my demands.
And now we cut to a shot of him driving on a mountain road. And it's this beautiful photograph of him with the light glistening on the windshield. And he's just like,
I'm a man.
Supremely confident.
I have much more in this small Chrysler than great comfort at a most pleasant price. I have great confidence, for which there can be no price. In Cordoba, I have what I need.
Now, don't you want to go out and get one right now?
Honestly, when I was doing ads for car companies. Oh, I'm sorry. That was last night's show.
I mean,
sorry. No, I love Pete. Come on.
I've got to say, after listening to that ad again, I think the person driving this is someone who has $500 and absolutely has to get to Mexico.
Oh, no.
Olé.
But if it was being sold new, it's the guy that the weeds care, whatever she's called, marries, right, in Tijuana. But if it's used, then Tijuana. Yeah, that's just – it just culturally filters down.
Yeah. I've only seen one of these in the flesh on the street, and it's in my neighborhood.
I've never seen one in my life, so I can't even guess. That's why I said Montalban, because he's the only one I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at this picture going, is that during the Dream Cruise?
Yes. That was during the Downriver Cruise.
Okay.
There was another one there, too, that was that had the square lamps. Unfortunately, when they did the restyle in 78, and that's why I stop at 78 with this article, there was this new rectangular halogen lamp that was available.
Wasn't it a mandate or something?
I don't know if it was a mandate, but it was something.
It was a styling thing. Everyone like, oh, we
everybody's
can do,
like, we, ooh, a new lamp. Let's do it. And so they stacked them too.
With advanced square technology.
And it's almost indistinguishable from like an LTD.
Exactly. Now it may as well be a Ford Elite or a Monte Carlo. Suddenly it looks just like all those. And the look that they had that was so distinctive is gone. So, you know, that kind of makes me go, oh, do you have a wah, wah, wah thing ready to go?
No.
Okay, well, allow me then.
Of course we do.
We have everything. It's just a matter of finding it. Stalling long enough that we can
We have to get have to get Ben an electronic cart program so he can just kind of press buttons.
But you know, for the 3 short years that this particular Cordoba was sold, it was the car to own in the market. If the Edsel was the marketing failure of all time, this was one of the marketing home runs of all time.
It's like a minivan but squared.
Mud Monster just found a gold 77 Cordoba for $600.
And I have completely confused Jason.
Yeah.
I've been waiting all night for that look and finally got it.
Yep.
Only took a retarded comment.
Anyway, but yeah, this is a column that I write every now and then just because I love to infuriate my colleagues. And and there are certain cars that I do legitimately believe are cast into the reject pile unnecessarily. So. Yeah, stop by cardesignfetish.com and see what else I got in there. It's a journey into the past, and you may learn something.
And that was a plug, folks.
Yes.
And there's the train.
Yes, there's the train.
What train? I don't know what you're talking about, Michelle.
Next comes the ice cream. Next comes the ice cream truck.
We are in
a
soundproof.
I'll bring the ice cream truck in.
Isolation chamber here. So, okay, that'll wrap up our Meet Your Roadmate segment for this week. And we have one last segment before we go. It is our tip of the week.
Our tip of... Apparently I picked the wrong... There we go.
Close enough. Zachary, I do believe you have our tip of the week this week.
Yeah, tip of the week this week is pretty simple. Don't buy generic brand auto parts. And I say this as someone who resurrects a lot of cars on the cheap, which means having to buy a lot of parts like alternators and starters and axles and things like that. And it's always tempting to run to your local Advanced or AutoZone or whatever and pick up the lifetime warranty one because you think, well, they warranted it for life. It's got to
be
good.
Yeah, so in the package.
That would be a... Lie would be, is what that would be.
More edits.
Yeah. I start putting that in live.
Quick draw, Ben.
Hey Ben, I did. Hey Ben, I did send you that other drop for that, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So yeah, what specific incident has there been one recently with you?
Yes. All right, Ben.
Explain.
Roll story time. Nothing, Ben.
Hey, I'm working
there
on
it. There it is.
I love
and
that
now,
fireplace.
A story with Zach Bowman.
His grandmother killed a bitch.
Great grandmother, Craig. I swear to God.
I know, Zach. I just say it to piss you off.
I know you do. That's why it pisses me off. All right, so let's roll back the clock to about October of 2009. We're going to make time.
yes, sir.
We had the Subaru Forester XT for probably, I don't know, a couple months at this point. And the driver or passenger side CV boot had splint and slung grease all over the exhaust manifold, so it was smoking. So I decided to replace both axles at the same time. And I called up the local Subaru dealer, and they said, sure, we can have both axles here by Monday. It'll be $800 total. To which I thought...
$800!
Right. So I call up the local auto parts store, and this happened on, like, a Friday. And my wife Beth has to drive the car to work on Monday, because this is when I was infamously out of press cars, which means our only other vehicle was the 78 International. It has the throttle sticking issue occasionally.
Oh, is it a Toyota engine in there?
No.
Oh.
So they say that they have lifetime warranty brand new axles for a total of $150.
Sweet.
Game on. Grab those suckers, put them in, have the car aligned, taken care of by Monday. I'm feeling like a champ. Last month, lo and behold, all 4 boots on the CV CVs had split on the brand new axles. This was in 4 months, less than 3,000 miles. Obviously, a problem. So, I take them out, but I don't know if everybody knows, but to replace an axle on an all-wheel drive car means disassembling the entire front suspension.
You got to undo the strut. I assume, I'm pretty sure you have struts. Yeah. You disconnect it from the control arm, and then you got to If you're and lucky, the CV, the axle will come out of the steering knuckle, the hub. Otherwise, you have to press it or beat it out with a hammer.
Right.
Pain in the ass.
Big, big pain in the ass. And then you've got to pry them, find a way. You should never pry an axle out of a transmission.
You need a slide hammer, right?
Yeah, unless you're pissed and it's Saturday night and you have to get the car together by tomorrow. Then, you know.
Bring out the BFH.
Right, exactly. So I'm obviously I don't want to do this again. So I call up the Subaru dealer, and now Subaru is making remanufactured axles for that car, which you should probably skip remanufactured axles altogether, but since they're coming from the factory, you figure probably worth a shot, especially since they're half the price of the new ones.
Did the remanufactured ones fail on you?
No.
Okay,
no.
I was going to say, because remanufactured stuff is usually great. In my experience, at least.
The Subaru remanufactured stuff has so far been fantastic. Got them out of the box. Everything turned freely. Was nice. There was no clunkiness to any of the CVs. And so far, everything's staying together.
Terrific.
So the moral of the story is it may appear cheaper to begin with, but it's never going to be that way. I forgot to mention that when I put the new axles back in, I also tore the axle seal. Which was another.
Oh, God. Then you got to get the.
Yeah.
That's a story for another show.
Right. So the point of the story is the saying is true. You always get what you pay for. And even if someone puts their name on a product and says that they will warranty it for life, it probably just means that they're betting against the curve, which means that odds are most people will lose their receipt and won't be able to return their stuff.
Well, did you return the junky parts?
You're damn straight I did.
You got your money back?
Yeah, the guy gave me my money back.
Was he like, what'd you do to these? Go mudbogging?
No. I picked up the phone and said, you know, I'm having a trouble, or I bought these axles, and he's like, and they failed, right? I'm like, yes, they did. He's like, bring them on back. I'm like, okay.
So apparently it's a regular
occurrence, which is all the more insulting, you know?
Yeah, that they sold you garbage, basically, in a box.
Right, right.
Yeah, I had a similar experience with the Focus motor mounts. I figured, I'll just go online and get the generic brand ones. And because what happened was after about 110,000 miles, the passenger side mount, it's hydraulic, and it started leaking. So you get these weird vibrations, yada, yada. Not fun. So I replace all the mounts, which isn't really that big of a job, surprisingly. I had them all out replaced in about an hour, actually.
Wow, well done.
Pretty easy. But then a month later, horrible, horrible vibrations. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? The hydraulic mount on the passenger side literally just collapsed completely. Just collapsed. It was metal on metal inside the mount. So I was like, oh, God. So I ordered some from the dealer, and everything is terrific. So I can corroborate your story, Zach. I feel your pain.
Shell out that fucking cash. That's the moral of the story.
Absolutely.
There you go.
They can't see your thumbs up on the audio podcast.
I thought it was the credits to Police Squad for a moment there.
But speaking of credits... Clever segue. Got to thank all you guys for joining us. Zach?
Do we have to?
No.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate that.
Zach, nice blog.webrightstv.com, green-racer.com. I'm sure a bunch of other sites. No, you're spreading like VD at summer camp, aren't you?
Wow.
Just the blog.webrightstv.com. We've got the inflammation under control. It's cool.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Pleasure as always.
Thanks.
Eric? Fritko, yeah. That's it. Thank you for joining us as well. What?
I said that's the ticket.
I got it right.
Oh, shit. Right. One more. I'm also on Hooniverse.com.
Oh.
Woo!
Yay, chat room.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so Eric Fritko, thank you for joining us. Rumblestrip on the web.
Rumblestrip.net, yes. And thank you for at least, you know, we didn't have to let the chat room inform us that you forgot to let us plug ourselves this week. And also on Twitter at twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Yep, follow him on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter. Roundabout Show on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, Michelle, you're also on Twitter. MissMotormouth.com, I believe, is your Twitter handle.
Facebook me.
Minus the dot com.
Yeah, minus the dot com. No, just Google me.
So your website is MissMotormouth.com?
It is MissMotorMouth.com. Apparently one hit on my website is people Googling Miss Motormouth.
How about that?
So you're also Miss Motormouth on Twitter.
I am.
Whenever Michelle gets quiet, she's confused or offended.
Humbly so. And this week I'm actually I'm also U.S. Gazelles on Twitter. I'm following the race live, even though they're 8 hours ahead of me.
Yikes.
It's the Olympics all over again.
No, you can't say that.
Oh, son of a...
Olympics. Okay. It's at U.S. Gazelles, all one word, on Twitter. And, they're in Morocco, and they're all racing against each other, these women. Crazy.
Cool.
And of course, Tuesday nights.
Yes, Mangled Media, Dr. Mangled Media. What is it?
Yes, if you minglemediatv.com, I have a show on Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
She's literally moonlighting.
Where Greg appears as Lube Asaur.
Oh.
That was a
fake. And here we thought they were extinct.
Yes, exactly. Don't even ask. It's,
you know, I think it actually is kind of funny because I think that the Suzuki Saur stuffed animal thing that Suzuki's trying to put
the SUV-asaurus.
Yes, it looks so phallic. So
that's why Michelle collects them.
Ow, ow. No, they offered to send me one and I said, please don't.
It would be too tempting.
Yeah.
Just too tempting.
Exactly.
Well, cool deal, Michelle Naranjo. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Craig.
You're very welcome. And of course, I can't forget about our resident newbie joining us for the first time on Roundabout, Jason. Jason White.
Huh? No, Jack White.
Oh, from that band.
Yes.
He's a Detroiter as well.
Oh, wait, did Craig just make a cultural reference?
That's not possible.
Ding, ding, ding. Don't make me play the White Stripes on you guys.
Can you name two other bands he's in?
No.
Fail.
Thanks. You know, Zach, I can always count on you for a self-esteem boost, you know?
Great.
I'm not going to go home and cut myself now. Jason White, cardesignfetish.com.
Thanks so much for having me, Craig. I had a lot of fun.
I bet you didn't. And you're just saying that to be polite.
He's a very polite boy, though.
Yes,
no, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. It's great. No, it was great. It's fun. You guys are a great group of guys.
Well, we're glad you could make it. I had a blast doing the special edition. Yeah.
I'd like to give a quick shout out to all our friends in Russia. For some reason, Car Design Fetish is very big in Russia. We get all kinds of Russian comments that we have to translate and check.
Are you sure that's not spam? Because we get all kinds of spam from Russia.
They all come in through the spam filter, and then I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute. I'll check this out. And I translate it, and it's on topic.
Legitimate?
It's legitimate.
Because we get a bunch on the Autoline site. They'll have like six links, and it's like, okay, delete.
Well, yeah, but these are actually pertaining to the subject, and I'm like, wow. So...
Some cool. People are big in Japan. They're big in Russia.
So hello to our Russian friends. Thank you for...
Comrade.
Hi.
Mother Russia. Thank you very much. Now we've insulted them, and now they won't want to read it anymore. Oh, well.
Hey, it's your fault.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't blame me for that one.
No,
can't
I
pin
won't.
It on me. All right, we're wrapping things up here, but a couple things before we go. Just wanted to tell you, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. We've got more great content. Another crap on there. You can check it out. Links, show notes, etc.
Emphasis on crap.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ben. You are in charge of the website.
Oh, then I got to bleep myself.
Yeah. All right. Visit the Roab Emporium. That's our store run by Cafe Press. We've got all kinds of great stuff on there. And as we mentioned last week, Ben has so graciously put up some fan art T-shirts from some of our very loyal fan. They've sent in some artwork that they've done. Luke has a wonderful sketch of all of us, except you, Jason.
Well, that's understandable.
Unless Luke knows how to time travel or something. But that's neither here nor there. Great fan T-shirts. We've got one design from Luke. We've got one from our friend Mirko Reinhardt. He made a nice friend-a-roo design for us. So check those out.
Friend me.
Yes, friend-a-roo me. They're available for a limited time only. So get them while you can before Ben yanks them off the site. Hint, hint,
buy a t-shirt.
You might wish to buy a t-shirt.
Yes. So with that, just want to remind you, you can always subscribe to our podcast, Roundabout Show. You can do it on iTunes, or you can do it with me on Zoom if you want. Or Ben has just got us out on the Stitcher. So if you've got a mobile device, like a phone, or pretty sure a phone, you can also listen to us on that as well, streaming live over the cyberweb. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
I'm in shock.
What?
I was actually
your bladder held for the whole show.
Well, that too. No, no, that that I could actually go to the bathroom, come back, and you still weren't doing the outro.
Hey, Eric, go fork yourself.
Wow.
Hey, hold
on. Segue.
I'm gonna. I'm about to ruin the moment.
He's a pro.
It could be.
Ben's a pro at ruining moments.
Eric, are you talking into the wrong end of your mic?
Not that I'm aware of. It's usually right here is the best pickup.
That's good now.
That's what she said.
Eric doesn't have that much good stuff to say anyway, so, you know, it's fine.
Addition by subtraction.
That just sounds painful.
Yeah, it does, actually.
That's actually Craig stretching.
That's my... there was a recall on my replacement hip. I haven't gone in yet for the replacement.
Stretching the old bones.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.